Oklahoma. Today is today. So it must be the Oklahoma Today podcast, bringing you all the best in the state for another week. St. Patrick's Day is upon us, so we'll be talking about the history of Irish settlers in Oklahoma, as well as the special connection between the Choctaw Nation and Ireland with Director of Special Projects Larry Odell from the Oklahoma Historical Society. But first, we asked you our question of the week. What is your first tornado memory? Let's go around the horn here. Megan, what is your first memory of a tornado?
Well, I would have to say Twister. I watched the movie Twister before I ever came to Oklahoma, and the line in which, what is his name? Bill Paxton. Mm-hmm. There is a tornado in the sky, and he looks up and says, "The atmosphere is unstable." And I have always loved that observation. So that's a. And then, of course, I moved to Oklahoma and had all sorts of experiences with tornadoes. But my first one, it's Twister.
Managing Editor Carly Ibarra.
I used to be obsessed with playing tornado. We had a little closet underneath the stairs in our house. And so I would take everything out of the closet, like coats and all the storage stuff. And then I would bring in my Beanie Babies and such a 90s memory. I would bring in my Beanie Babies and then all of our animals and like arrange them so that they were safe. And then we would just like sit there for like an hour. And then we would clear it all out and I'd have to, you know, put everything back in.
What a fun game.
So fun.
Good times.
Man, I'm afraid to ask Nate's about his first memory because I think it might be the same, except it's he brought all his trapper keepers in there. I'm just trying to think, what was the 80s equivalent?
Well, My Little Ponies.
Transformers.
G.I. Joes. Transformers and G.I. Joes.
Transformers.
Editor-in-Chief Nathan Gunner, what was your first tornado memory?
It's actually one of my very earliest memories, believe it or not. And that is just standing on the front porch of my house. We lived right outside of Weatherford, on the east side of Weatherford. And looking back, our house faced back toward the west. And if you've been to Weatherford, you've seen the big water towers out there west of town. And you could see those from our house. And I remember up on that same hill to the north back towards Thomas, standing on our front porch and watching a tornado. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. Right. And it was terrifying. And for years, I would stand at our dining room window faced the same direction. And I would like, if there was weather, Gary England was on and saying tornado warning anywhere in the state, I would like stand at that window and watch for them.
You were the watcher.
Yeah. And there was like a telephone pole. And sometimes like there were things in the distance that I always thought were tornadoes, like the water towers and all that stuff. And I would, you know, really look closely. And the couple times I thought about I should call Channel 9 and tell them there's a tornado, and there was never. I was an anxious little kid, but yeah, that was it. I just remember that tornado so clearly, and this sense of like terror and majesty and awe and all that stuff that came with it for a little kid.
Research editor Ben Lucian, what is your tornado memory?
Well, I'm confident I experienced a tornado before this, but the first one I really remember is just, May 3rd, 1999, just the outbreak on that day. And what I remember, I was in the elementary school at the time, and it was the first time, there were tornadoes before, but I don't think I was really ever scared. I was never really scared before. And this was the first time I was scared of a tornado. But what I most remember is that my best friend, Michael, keep in mind, this is elementary school, his birthday was that same day. And it was the first time I had ever realized that someone's birthday could be a non-magical, perfect event. Could it actually be a really bummer of a day? And now I'm in my 30s, and I relate with that even more.
Can I just, I'd like to circle back real quick. What year was this?
It was 1999, right?
And you were in elementary school.
Really?
This is true. I'm adding myself. Yes.
Hey, yeah, I graduated from fifth grade in 2000. So,
all right. Okay. Stop. That's You're all
fired. Fired. Stuff. Everybody's fired.
Very, very cool. Nate and I
feel really old.
Wait, how old were you in 1999?
At lunch alone?
Freshman in college, Benjamin.
Oh, all right. Here's mine, even though none of you asked, and I'm very hurt. I loved the Cosby Show because things were different then and we didn't know what we know now. Mm-hmm. So one evening I was patiently awaiting the Huxtable family's arrival, and the sky turned dark. I think it was 1986. My family lived in Edmond, and all the coverage that night was tornadoes, with a fairly good reason. So my dad did the normal Oklahoma thing and stood on our porch watching the weather roll in. And at some point, my parents shoved me and my little brother in the hall closet, just like Carly. and we put on our baseball helmets from Little League. And I think they put a mattress over us. It did not hit our house, thank goodness. But it did come kind of close. I think it hit the neighborhood over from us. And because DVRs weren't a thing, I don't know if I ever saw that episode of The Cosby Show. And at this point, I'm not really interested in going back and watching them. So we asked our followers on Facebook and Instagram this question, and boy, did they ever let us know. Karen Malloy, my first scary one was when I was in the third grade attending university school in 1960 or 1961 on North Base in Norman. We had a tunnel shelter behind the school that the elementary classes would go to standing in rows. One week we hit that shelter every dang day, coming out only when things were all clear or when it was time to go home. That Wednesday, some of us were released to our bus, and as the bus was heading south on Porter, I looked out the back window to see a funnel following the same path as the bus.
Wait. So it was like, okay, that's a 3 o'clock bell. It's not our problem anymore.
That's Karen.
Karen, I'm going to need some answers.
Roberta Carroll says that she was three in 1958. They lived in the country in Southern Illinois. Mom and I hid under the bed. All of a sudden, the front door blew open and Dad's bird dog Felix came running in and got under the bed with us.
It just goes to show you that anyone can be an Okie.
That's right.
From Illinois.
Joe Faircloth said he moved to Shawnee on a Thursday and one came down Main Street on Tuesday. We weren't sure where our house was in relation to the parameters they were giving out on the TV. Kind of scary. That totally reminds me, like a couple of years ago, I was in Tulsa, which I mean, I know Tulsa slightly better than I know Milwaukee, but not that much. And there was a tornado. And I remember watching TV being like, I couldn't tell you where it is and where I am. Craig Frank, the February 2010 tornado that started near Yukon and was on top of my house in Edmond in under 10 minutes. I was home at the time and saw the pond behind my house swirling like someone had turned a blender on. Got into my laundry room, opened the door to the garage to check things, heard lots of loud banging and had a hard time getting the inside door to close again, heard some glass breaking. I only lost one window, but it took off the roof over my garage, sucked off the electric meter, and had lots of interior damage. But the house was still livable, even with no gas for days. Did about $40,000 in damage.
Wow.
Just glad he's safe. That's
yes. Scary. Oh, really my scary. Goodness. Let's see. Over on Instagram, the first one I remember is the November 1973 tornado in Moore. Punched a hole in the side of our church at 12th and I-35. Did a fair amount of damage at North Moore Elementary and knocked down some signs and power lines at 27th and Broadway. And it knocked over his swing set, which he was not happy about. So anyway, thank you guys so much for sharing your tornado memories with us. And be sure to check our Facebook and Instagram pages next week. We love, love, love getting your answers to these questions. We are so pleased to welcome in Larry O'Dell, who is the Director of Special Projects with the Oklahoma Historical Society. We've got St. Patrick's Day coming up, and it got us thinking a little bit about the history of the Irish in Oklahoma. And Larry, you're kind of the go-to man for history in Oklahoma.
Yes, I worked on the Encyclopedia of Oklahoma, so I know a little bit about a lot. I wrote several articles for that. So, yeah.
Well, so if you could tell us a little bit from some basic reading that I had, the Irish and Scotch-Irish were some of the first folks to come to Oklahoma in the land runs and before.
Yeah, the Scots-Irish came in the 1700s. They were Protestants, Scotch and Irish, that were in Northern Ireland. And they came to the South, basically. And Scots-Irish is kind of an immigration pattern from the Appalachian Mountains to Oklahoma and the Okies out to California. The Irish, the main immigration was after the potato famine in 1840s. They came, they suffered some discrimination, mainly because of their Catholic faith and some of the reaction they got from the Protestants here in America. And the Scots-Irish and the Irish intermarried into the five tribes. That's how they came to Oklahoma first. There were several Chickasaw, Choctaw, Cherokee, Seminole, Creek that were intermarried to the Scots, Irish, and Irish. So they came out in the early 19th century with the relocation of the American Indian tribes.
Okay. Are there any, are there any signs or sort of markers in Oklahoma's history that kind of points to that Irish heritage? That's one thing I've always kind of wondered. I definitely see like Czech festivals and things like that, but I kind of wondered where the Irish roots are here.
There was a rancher that settled and named the town of Aaron Springs, Oklahoma, which is Irish. He named it for his home country. So that's one thing. There's the first Catholic church in Oklahoma was St. Patrick's in Atoka that was built by an Irish minister. There's a town of Shamrock, Oklahoma, but it wasn't really founded by Irish. It was just named Shamrock, and they kind of named their streets for Irish names. So, but no, there's not a lot of physical items that mark the Irish.
Okay. And of course, there's a fairly famous story about the Cherokee Nation sending aid to Ireland.
Choctaw Nation.
Choctaw Nation.
1847, during the height of the potato famine, they sent $170 to help with relief for the Irish. And that was a lot of money back then. So,
yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, $170 isn't nothing to me right now.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So. Especially because I have seen how much potatoes are on sale for lately. I feel like I could make a killing.
Sure. Yeah.
Aren't they building a monument to celebrate that in Ireland?
I know that the Irish prime minister came and visited the Choctaw Nation a few years ago. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were building one in Ireland.
There is. It's done. It's
done.
Quite beautiful. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I love that though. I love that the Choctaws saw something in the Irish and in their struggle that made them want to respond that way. I'm just curious how all that came about.
Well, like I said, a lot of intermarried Irish and Scots-Irish were in the Choctaw tribe. And so they had just gone through relocation themselves in some hard times, so they saw what was going on and they wanted to help. So
that's amazing.
Yes. I know that you guys, I'm just going to bring a story up that I wanted to bring up if it's okay.
Sure.
So Ron Howard, who was born in Oklahoma, made the movie Far and Away. It was originally called The Irish Story, and it was about his father was Rance Howard, and Rance Howard was an actor himself. And he had both grandparents were from Ireland, and they made the Cherokee Outlet land run. So Ron made that movie about his relatives and about Oklahoma. So, and then I don't know if you guys remember Dr. Bob Blackburn, who just retired from the Historical Society.
Oh, yeah.
He was consulted on that when it was still called The Irish Story. So
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. That was kind of the biggest that I can think of, the biggest depiction of the land runs ever done on film. And you're right, it was. It was a very, that would have been a good name for it. It was a very Irish story.
Rance, I interviewed Rance Howard for our OK Pop Museum that we're doing in before he passed away. And he tells a story about how Ron wanted him to use a stunt double when he made the Land Run, because he portrayed it as, he says, his grandfather in the Land Run. And Ron said, you need a stunt double. He said, my grandpa on both sides of my family made the Land Run, and if they can do it, I can do it. And he would not take a stunt double.
It's amazing to me, Larry, how much of the story of people who came to Oklahoma is the story of refugees. Correct. In some kind of way. You know, the Irish, the people fleeing the Irish potato famine were very much refugees.
Fleeing the religious persecution of being Catholic in America.
Yeah. Sure. Down to the fall of Saigon and the reason there's such a big Vietnamese community in the state is the same. It's the same reason. We have these just sort of waves and patterns of history sort of repeating themselves, and they all seem to wash up here.
Yeah,
you know,
to be honest, there's only two real tribes in Oklahoma that are native, the Caddos and the Wichita. Everybody else was from every other Oklahoman is from somewhere else.
That's really fascinating.
In a way, I feel like that's unique among states.
It is. Oklahoma, I've always considered as a microcosm to the United States. It was one of the last lands settled. And if you draw a line, if you draw a line from Lawton, Altus, up through Tulsa, through Miami, the settlement patterns of Oklahoma is interesting, because below that line is really Southern. I mean, it's almost a deep South Southern type of state, because all the migrants from Texas, Arkansas, and other Southern states come up through that. And then above that line is Midwestern, a lot of Kansas, Ohio, you know, coming down. And to me, the fascinating part is right where the line meets, because that's a blending of all kinds of cultures.
It's interesting now how much of that line is drawn by an interstate.
It is. It is.
Is that a coincidence, or did that come about? Was that a result of that division?
Well, and for a long time, the three biggest towns were Lawton, Oklahoma City, and Tulsa. So it's kind of why that line goes up like that.
Okay. That's fascinating. And they're all at places where those two sort of major cultures meet. And I guess that's a lot of where cities and towns tend to spring up is in those meeting places. That is fascinating, huh? It just gives you a whole new way to think about the state's geography.
Mm-hmm. And it's cultural, you know. I mean, there's a reason it was called Little Dixie down in Durant and Atoka in that area. So
that's amazing.
Well, yeah, Larry, thank you so much for taking some time with us. We really do appreciate it. If people want to read more about not just the Irish in Oklahoma, but the history of Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Historical Society is online at okhistory.org. Is that right?
That is correct. And if you go click on publications, there's an encyclopedia of Oklahoma that's got all kinds of information. It took 10 years to put together.
It's wonderful.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. And I hope we can lure you back here for some more history talk later on.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Always really great to talk to Larry and the folks at the Oklahoma Historical Society. It is really a wonderful resource for Oklahoma. And if you haven't been over to the center there at Nazi Zudi Drive, I highly recommend it. Yes. Really great museum.
And good gift store.
And a
really good absolutely. Gift shop. Yeah. And there are dozens and dozens and dozens of sites all over the state that they oversee as well.
That's true.
OHS does an amazing job for the state preserving our heritage and our history. So yay for them.
Yeah. And now it is time we plumbed the depths of travelok.com's events to bring you a list of some fun stuff that you can do and some stuff that we will try to make each other laugh talking about. So let's go, Nathan.
So anyone who's talked to me in the last week knows that I'm completely obsessed with WandaVision. So I was very happy to get this because, as we all know, there are many groups of sisters who are secretly or openly witches. They go by names like Sanderson, if you're a fan of Hocus Pocus, Halliwell, if you're a fan of Charmed, and Olsen, if you're a fan of actual, real, honest to God witches, which I think Elizabeth Olsen and her twin sisters might actually be. Anyway, but if you are not so much a member of the Pointy Hat or Stevie Nicks fan club, you might want to talk about the three sisters known as Corn, Beans, and Squash. And this year, the Chickasaw Nation is honoring these wonderful foodstuffs virtually with its annual Three Sisters Festival, a Facebook-based fete celebrating the tribe's connection with nature through virtual horticultural tours, cooking demonstrations, and gardening classes. So as you wait for spring and eagerly peruse your seed catalogs, come get a taste of the delicious magic of the simple things. No cauldron, broom, or talking black cat required.
All right. Ben Lucian, let's hear what you've got to say.
Yeah, so it's springtime now. The sun's shining. We've all got a hankering for some live music, right? I've got some good news in that regard. Medicine Park's free Park Stomp Festival is back. March 20th to the 21st. That's combining the best of Oklahoma folk, red dirt, and bluegrass music. Do you all know, by chance, what happens when you mix red dirt and bluegrass music?
Something purple?
You get purple flower music?
Well, I don't know either. I just hope it doesn't purple rain.
Ha!
Yes, red.
I hope it does.
Park Stomp takes place outside the main stage at Hitchin Post Park. Guests should bring their own blankets, lawn chairs, and a little spending money for the food and craft vendors on hand. Music begins 3 p.m. both days, Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st. Saturday's lineup includes Black Mountain Fever, Whiskey Mash, Eureka Springs, and Chucky Wags. Sunday, which is the day I'm looking at, Sunday's offering includes Brad Fielder, the Redgrass String Band, and Steel Wind. If you haven't seen Steel Wind before, I mean, they rip, let me tell you. For more information, visit medicinepark.com/festivals.
All right, Carly.
Thanks to Joan Jett, most of us love rock and roll. But for those who love to roll over rocks, there's the Big Meat Run in Disney. During this off-roading and ATV extravaganza, drivers will race their way over the rocky terrain near the Pensacola Dam. Registration info is forthcoming, so check out grandlakeliving.com to find out more. Do any of you want to guess why it's called the Big Meat Run?
Do you get meat at the end?
Because they've genetically engineered a bunch of hams to grow legs and start running.
Ooh, delicious.
To make food gathering more challenging and appeal to our caveman sensibilities.
I would chase those hams.
Those are excellent guesses, and they could be real. I have no idea.
Okay.
So you don't know why?
I don't know why.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, just write whatever fanfic about that in your head you want before you go to that event, I guess.
Wow. If you have any ideas on why it's called the Big Meat Run, please send those to okatpod@travelok.com, and we will forward those directly to Carly. I won't read them or look at the pictures, so it's up to you guys.
Maybe every kilometer you run, you have to stop and eat a big rack of ribs.
Ooh. Mm. Finally, a race that I want like to take fun. Part in. Megan Rossman.
Well, it's a bit of a downgrade from Stirling Castle, but King James V nonetheless will hold court at the Park Hills Motel and RV Park in Veneta during the Queensferry Renaissance Festival on March 20th and the 21st. Peasants from all across the kingdom will gather as the Scottish King and Queen Mother Margaret Tudor preside over this weekend of majestic merriment that takes visitors back to Queensferry, Scotland, circa 1540. Villagers will assemble to dance, sing, tell stories, and sell wares ranging from chains and leather to dragon stuff. Whispers from afar suggest there may even be a feast of smoked meats, snow cones, and ye olde Frito chili pies. And what would any outdoor Oklahoma festival or Greek restaurant be without ample belly dancers? Expect to see them swinging their hips among the minstrels and mermaids. For more information, call 918-639-3255 or visit queensferryrenfest.com.
Wait, so by dragon stuff, do you mean stuff for dragons or stuff that has dragons on it?
Good question. It's just dragon stuff, Carly. Like,
okay,
you know.
Okay.
It's, or is it stuff like for your dragon?
It's like the kind of dragon stuff you would see for sale somewhere. Like
a harness?
I completely misunderstood. I thought it was just stuff that people dragged there.
Oh,
they were just dragon stuff.
Dragon thing. Well, I mean, some of that's what some of it is too. You know, well, like little dragon. Fun. I have this mental image of like dragon stuff. It's like little like dragon statues you buy, or like maybe it's a. I don't know.
All I know about that write-up, Megan, is that I really want a ye olde Frito chili pie now.
Yeah.
I do too.
All right. We're at that time of year when all event listings should contain this phrase. Please take your allergy medication of choice before arriving. And other than the pollen and dander inhalathon to benefit tree mold that I just made up, it's never been more needed than at Scissortail Park's daffodil days. Yes, the park crew planted 100,500 daffodil bulbs, which you can view through watery eyes while doing a 3K, a 1 mile run walk, or the kids dash at the Oklahoma City Park. If running isn't your thing, which is totally understandable, you can just dress up you and your pet in yellow to try and win a prize in the daffodil parade or the dog costume contest. There's also kids crafts, music, food trucks, and lots of trash cans in which you can throw away used Kleenex. This free event is March 21st at Scissortail Park. Visit scissortailpark.org for more info.
I'm going to dress my dog like a banana.
All right. Well, we have finished casting our pods upon the water for another week. So now it's your turn to do several things we ask you to do, but can in no way force you to do. Please subscribe to Oklahoma Today Magazine and visit us online at oklahomatoday.com. Please rate and review the podcast and tell all your friends which one of us you think has the coolest hair. It's Carly. Please send any questions or comments to oktpod@travelok.com, especially if it's about Carly's hair. And finally, please join us again next week for another episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast. Goodbye.
I wanna own a store called Ye Olde Frito Chili Pie. And it will be filled with dragon stuff.
Yeah.